Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, connecting leaders together to have conversations about building strong local communities. They're doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Executive Director of Local First Arizona. We are a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses. We're also the largest local business coalition in North America, raising awareness of the benefits of building a strong local economy. Our hopes today are to inspire more companies to do good business by highlighting local companies that are building a better Arizona. We are super excited today to have our title sponsor representatives of the Arizona Good Business Summit in the special session where we highlight speakers and partners of the 2020 Arizona Good Business Summit. We're joined today by my friends Scott and Jen from Mac6. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Absolutely. So I know I'm super excited about the Good Business Summit. For those of you that don't know, Scott McIntosh sitting across from me was actually part of my inspiration to come up with the idea of the Arizona Good Business Summit. I don't know if you knew that before.
I did not.
But for our listeners that maybe are new to Mac6, conscious capitalism, doing good business at all, Scott, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and how you came to be here?
Okay. As I get a little bit scared, people get so I won't go back to the entire history. But I had a long time career in mining. Was an engineer. Built a business, sold a business. We had 280 employees around the world, and so I just learned my entrepreneurship stuff through doing all that. Had great financial success. 2008 was acquired by somebody, and that was a great story about how that business transitioned. And I had a huge financial win, and so what's next? And I looked at I'm financially retired. I don't have to work, but that doesn't mean I don't have a lot of energy. And so I was looking for ways to keep contributing. And business has always been a part of me. We started doing philanthropy, and there's mixed feelings about how that model really, really works. We still actually be engaged. Discovered something called conscious capitalism along the route that you're both very familiar with as well. And that became, I didn't have to reinvent the wheel. That was how I'd run my business for many, many, many years. And it's, as we say in conscious capitalism, it's just good business. As I've talked with finance professors and others around this, and they point out they're great business books, and the conscious capitalism isn't necessarily the same thing because it's just good business. And so that's so much the tie-in as we created Mac6, and conscious capitalism is a part of all of that, and just good business. And through conscious capitalism and Mac6, we educate everybody around us that profit is a really good thing, and how you use profit to do good business and make a difference in the world. And just a great tie-in with you, Tommy, and Local First and the Good Business Summit.
Cool. Fantastic. Thank you so much. And Jen, tell us a little bit about you, how you came to be a part of the Mac6 team, and what you're excited about for the summit next year.
Sure. Thanks, Tommy. So it's a little bit of a funny story, a windy road of like how it really is not necessarily what you know, but who you know. I worked at the Leukemia Lymphoma Society as a director there, and Kyle McIntosh, Scott's son and co-founder of Mac6, actually worked for me, and he left my organization to go start Mac6, and so I was really sad to see him go, but about a year or two after he left, he gave me a call and said, hey, we're doing some really cool things. I know you've always been interested in entrepreneurship. Why don't you think about coming over to my organization? So I was his boss, and now he's my boss. But I've been here for 6.5 years, and it's been an incredible journey. Just all of the connections that we've been able to make and the impact in the community and really see the power of entrepreneurship and small business has been really incredible. And that's why I'm excited about the summit, just to see, to bring our community. It's an impressive community that we have in Phoenix, to bring us all together, share best practices. There's always things I learn, and I'm just really excited to go and be a learner.
Cool. And what is Mac6, and what do you all do? There's many things you do.
They're pointing at each other. So there's just a funny story of evolution there. I mean, we are a co-working space, and we're different from others. But as Kyle and Ellie and then Jen fairly early on got involved in it, we started off as an incubator, and we've got a space. We've got 10,000 square feet that we're sitting in right now that we started off with companies that we were investing in. And unlike most incubators, and we did part of what a lot do, and to, you know, how do you raise money and teach the marketing sales strategy and how to raise money. But we were investors too. And so we started off that way. And then we didn't have enough companies to totally fill up the space. So we started renting out space to others to build community. And we found over time that the best role we could play with any sort of startups or other companies was not on your sales plan, your marketing plan, your pitch, anything. It was around how the team can become high-performing, how the leadership team can be high-performing. And so we shifted, and that's primarily Jen's role in Mach6 right now, as any companies that are in our co-working in other spaces, is we have a light touch of leadership development, employee development to around high-performing teams. There's a long list of things that we do there, but it's so we're like a WeWork, not necessarily the best comparison.
I don't know you want to compare yourself.
Well, thank you, WeWork, for helping us educate the world around co-working and what that is, co-working beyond. And so I would call ourselves a boutique WeWork that has some very unique characteristics around us, including the conscious capitalism and good business. And we've got a screening process for anybody that's here. We have just fairly recently, just in the last year, expanded from 10,000 square feet of co-working to we now have 150,000 square feet of co-working, including a lot of spaces that are otherwise look like traditional office real estate, including up to 9,000 square feet. But we're bringing in, for those that are looking for some way to be part of community, and you can quietly occupy, but we have meeting rooms and other things that, hey, in the quiet occupancy real estate, if you think you needed your own meeting space, maybe you don't, because you can use it as shared space. And so we have some uniques from the WeWork and Novels and Galvanize and those, mm-hmm. and we have some uniques from other traditional space. So we're a space, where people and businesses thrive. And so that's really what our mission is.
That's great. And we have several businesses that have been incubated by Mach6 that we're featuring at the Business Summit mm-hmm. next year. Ray from Refresh Glass.
Right.
I can't even remember. We have four or five others. But Jen, what are some of the businesses that you've enjoyed seeing being incubated through Mach6 that you've seen take off and are doing great things in the community?
Thanks, Tommy. That's funny that you say that. Right before this interview, I was at our light manufacturing facility, Park Lane, and we were talking. I was talking to one of our community members who started with, I don't know, a couple hundred square feet, and now she's in 1,500, 1,600 square feet. And we were talking about what the space used to be like when we first bought it and who was really in there and how there used to be this huge open space in the middle of the warehouse that they used to play football in there. It was a workout machine for Ray and Refresh used to have that. And now how it's so filled up and the community that's over there of all these makers who've really helped and grown each other's business. And it's just incredible. There's story after story over there, everything from Standard Wax, who's grown and now she rebranded and she's going on to something else, still in the candles, but just going through that history was really fun. And then, of course, Refresh Glass, they're doing some amazing things, and their business is right on the cusp of doing some even more things. So everyone over there, because you can so visually see it, because they're making things, like, mm-hmm. like their space actually increases. Like when you're working from a desk, like you could be doing huge things, but your desk space still stays the same. So I really enjoy all of our companies, but over there especially is fun.
Yes. Yeah. Really interesting stories going on right now as companies that are on the, and Refresh is one on the cusp of some explosive growth, which it's that inflection point that, as we all know, Ray and Refresh Glass is at some point it's going to be an instantaneous success, was preceded by 10 years of really hard work, which is so many startups go through.
Mm-hmm. And so for those of you listening that typically know me by Thomas and hear Scott and Jen calling me Tommy, it's because we spent many a time in a leadership development space where after I meet people and they get to know me a little bit, they start calling me Tommy because we get a little loose. But I admire and love the work that you do behind the empowerment of leadership teams and the strategy that goes behind that. And we spent time together working on that for Local First Arizona together. And in our times where we would take breaks and eat lunch and things like that, Scott would talk and he would talk about just doing good business and it's just good business. And it really started getting me thinking, well, what does that even mean? Because it could mean something different to anybody you might ask, right? But mm-hmm. Mach6 and conscious capitalism and these things that you have put so much energy behind from your perspective is just good business, right? So I'm super interested to hear, Scott, what is good business to you?
Simple but not easy. my simplest description, which I'm getting better and better at with my conscious capitalism hat on as well, it's thinking and making decisions long-term versus short-term. And there's so much today, and the Wall Street companies have short-term pressure on them that are forced to make decisions more short-term. Refresh Glass, a startup who is a highly conscious business, as anybody in a startup mode knows, running out of cash, and you run out of cash, and you're dead. And so how do we make long-term decisions, and how do we pay living wages and doing those sorts of things? And so it's simple but not easy, but it's at the essence of it, it is thinking long-term versus short-term. Mm-hmm. It's the story I use all the time that is, in the short-term, if you're my employee, I pay you less, I make more money. And the math is really simple, and that's the way we teach it at undergrad level, because they haven't figured out, nobody believes anything long-term on a spreadsheet. Yet thinking long-term on the simple example, if you're my employee, I pay you more, not because I'm altruistic, not because of anything, but because I then invest in you, time, your development, you become more productive, and the container store is maybe it's an old story now, but they pay double what the average retail is, and they get three times the productivity. And so the shareholders win and everybody wins. And it's every decision you make running through a long-term filter. Brian Moore came back from a conscious capitalism CEO summit recently, and the conversation there, and there was Mohawk Indian tradition of some kind, and thinking seven generations ahead.
Wow.
Yeah. I invest in a private equity company that thinks with a 99-year time horizon. And so investment of those kinds. And so there's cash flow that you get in the short term, but they're not looking for short-term exits. So
right. So
good business is just what any business owner would do, trying to think long-term versus short-term. We have short-term pressures on us. And so when you cannot do things like pay living wages, you communicate with your employees, maybe you expect high turnover and you help them find a next stage job because you can't do it, or you develop your business such that they can grow inside the business and pay them more. But communication is what you have to do in those cases when
right.
you can't do the things that you would like to be able to do with a long-term perspective.
Right. So for either of you to answer this, in a day and age, in a time where things are getting even faster and more immediate and more short-term, if you will, how does a business even position itself to be long-term when I can get, well, you can go on your phone literally and get anything you want instantaneously as a consumer even. As a business, how do you position yourself to be that long-term strategist in how you position yourself in the community?
Wow, that is quite the question. That is the million-dollar question, right? Just some thoughts that come to mind is, you know, there are so many more consumers now than ever that are really drawn to company. They want to know the why behind the company. They want to know the purpose. You know, they want to know what's happening in the business. And as soon as they hear that their employees aren't being treated well, or their products aren't quality, they're going to go somewhere else potentially. But I think it's a struggle because you do have just what Scott was saying, that you have these pressures, you have this innovation. And I think we're all trying to figure it out of how to meet modern world with kind of some old world principles, because at the end of the day, everyone's human, right? And we all want to be treated as such. And if we're having healthy and happy employees who can go home, the trickle effect of that in their community, you know, they have research, Bob Chapman, Everybody Matters is a great book on this, so that, you know, they measure divorce rate in their company, because they know that if people feel fulfilled and respected at work, then they're going to come home and be better spouses, be better parents. And then that trickles down to the community. So that doesn't directly answer your question. I think there's a lot of really smart people working on it and trying to figure it out. But at the core of it, and the core of all of us, is we're humans. And I think that good attracts good. And so the better you are, and the more you think about all your stakeholders, you're going to attract more and more of a consumer base.
Right, absolutely.
If I could just add something to that, and I think this for the next century is the key thing that we as humans need to grapple with, it's the pace, the acceleration, change is accelerating and things are happening faster and faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, a key part of it, I think, for me is all of us as human need to be able to learn. Businesses need to be able to learn. Employees need to be able to learn. An issue that as capitalism gets a lot of bad rap these days. It's the creative, destructive side of capitalism that is the painful side. And so as a new company comes in and innovates, and with Uber and Lyft and taxis are going through this, and they're having to change. And so how do we deal with that rapid change? I think education is a part of it. The good news of that change, as certain jobs are destroyed, a lot of those jobs are, if you have a manual labor ditch digger job, and I've done manual labor, I got a lot of respect for that. That's kind of a crappy job. And so how do we accelerate the pace of education so that people aren't constrained to do those more labor-intensive jobs? And I think it's that pace of change, becoming learners. And I mean, both as employers and I've got grandkids now, and educating all of our youth to be learners and just continually learning of what these new opportunities are. The sure. days of I do the same thing for the next 20 or 30 years are probably gone, but that wasn't necessarily a good thing anyway, as some job sitting in a cubicle for 20, 30 years can be a pretty dispiriting thing that so I think there's a lot of good that can come from this as we figure out how to change.
Interesting, yeah. And do you see from your perspective and having all these businesses here and from a national or international perspective of being involved in this type of work, do you see a real shift in businesses being better? I'm throwing you a softball, but do you think that there are more businesses positioning themselves to appear better so as to stay with the trend of good business? Or is there a little bit of both?
I think there's both, right? It's kind of like the greenwashing effect, like everyone tries to be environmentally friendly, but then when you like really look at it, you know, they're using terms that don't even have a definition just because. Mm-hmm. So I think there's both. But I do see like the conversations that people are having on a national, international perspective, I didn't see 10 right. years ago. So I do think there really is a change, and some of, you know, the bigger companies are realizing that this change is coming. So some of them are embracing it and doing it really well. Others are trying to figure it out. It's a combination. I mean, like anything, you're going to have a mixture.
Yeah.
I have great optimism, and I'm an optimist, and I realize I have to be careful with that. But I do a lot of reading. I talk to people across the country and around the world, and I have great optimism that everyday folks and business leaders of all size are at a 90% plus level, busting their butts to do the right thing. There's always going to be a segment that are not doing the right thing. I think an issue we deal with is the media picks up on the bad news stories, and that's just the business model. It's
right.
without fault to them, but we get inundated with the bad news stories, and it seems like the data is all bad news. There's just massive good news that goes on, and so it's both optimistic, and I just think that way. But as I look at data and people and every place I go, the vast majority are doing the right things and trying hard to think long term. It's hard. Mm-hmm. To doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. And so from the perspective that you've created a space for conscious businesses, does Mac6 or do either of you do any work behind the idea of conscious consumerism and supporting businesses that are values aligned with you?
So Scott's looking at me. So that's a
do big, we?
So that's a big thing for me personally. Mm-hmm. I really try to take that side of conscious consumerism to heart, because it's easy to, you know, say that we want to do good business and then turn around and not necessarily support the people who are
right.
who are doing it. But I do think that there are good business at every level, right? So there's good big business, there's good small business. But I think we do advocate. We probably could do more here. But I do think that, at least personally, I'm always challenging people to be thinking about the impact that certain things have from its packaging, and not just from an environmental perspective, but from every type of perspective, to learn more about the companies. One year, and Thomas, you know about this, I decided that I was going to buy only local for all of my gifts as an experiment. I try to do a large percentage, but one year I was very specific, only local retailers. And I wanted to research every company, and I wanted to know everything about it and understand the gifts. And it was really rewarding, but it was really hard.
Yeah.
So I think just stopping this extra couple seconds and just considering what you're doing and the impact that it has can go a long way. So I might be on my own personal mission, but...
I don't think you're on your own personal mission. And I in this fast-paced world, and I am on Amazon all the time, and it is so convenient to do things, I am pausing and thinking. And I mean, you and Kimber got me thinking more about this. And,
yeah.
And it is more time-consuming to buy local. And so I'm looking for opportunities, and I worry about big boxes. And so I any of my electronics, I almost always go to Best Buy. I love Best Buy. I look online, I look at Amazon, I look at Best Buy, and I end up going in the store. Their customer service is outstanding. And so it is, and so I think businesses, and that you may not look at Best Buy as a local in the same, in local sure. Arizona, but that there's local employees and there's people there, they're contributing to the Arizona economy. And so as I'm looking for something, I try to do that. And I'm something we all need to do more of, as it's fast. And,
well, at the very least,
we have these conveniences that aren't necessarily the most sustainable long term for.
Well, and the one
everybody.
Thing that we do consistently here at Max 6 is all of our vendor partners and the people that we bring in the community. We have a vetting process. We share our values. We want to make sure that they align with what we do, almost for selfish reasons, because when they understand our values and where we're coming from, then we can hold them accountable and right. we're on the same page. But we are really careful about who we select and the things that we bring in that we order monthly. I know Chrissy, our community manager, spends a lot of time thinking about that.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why it's a pleasure to be around here all the time. Even when something's happening with one of our buildings or something's breaking, it's the vendors and the small businesses that we work with. We've had that conversation. And so it's a nice place, even when things might be going wrong.
Sure. Yeah. And Scott, so going back to your point of, you know, we only hear about the negative, I feel like the true shift of the needle happens in our proactiveness about supporting the businesses that are intentionally doing good things, rather than something happens in the media and all of a sudden you've got a hashtag boycott whoever because they did something last week and then it goes right. away and who knows how effective that boycott even was. And, you know, it's a reactiveness to something potentially negative that a company may have done rather than proactively as people supporting businesses that are taking difficult steps to be better in society and build better communities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah.
It seems like we're becoming a little too harsh and judgmental and what might be small missteps that people can correct. And it's doing business is hard and satisfying all people. And so the Good Business Summit is just a great venue, what you've put together to, this is real capitalism. This is real folks that are doing real stuff. And there's probably a lot of people there that they're not perfect either.
Right.
And so getting people together to share their stories of what they do, and this can be really hard. And what do you do when you're running out of cash? And how do you
sure.
do mm-hmm. good business? And so the more and more stories through Conscious Capitalism, through the radio program here, through the Good Business Summit, through all the good work that you guys are doing, just helps educate everybody about, yes, it's hard, but you can do this. And if we, it's in Vince Lombardi, I think maybe so you strive for perfection and excellence may result. And so none of us are ever going to be perfect in business or football or anything. And that's what we have to strive for and support each other in.
Sure. And that's why we created the space of the Good Business Summit for companies, was that not only do people probably have a different definition of what it means to do good business, but you've created a space to have that conversation and share those differentiations in a space where you're building a relationship with other people rather than making assumptions about how somebody may be, right? And so in order to address community opportunities or issues or build more inclusive workforces or try to pay your employees a living wage, getting the perspectives of other people from other industries and other backgrounds and diversity of thoughts and background in order to build what you need to for yourself, you have to have the space to do that with other business leaders in the community.
Right.
And so that's what we're really excited about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me three.
You're like. So Jen, you are actually going to be one of our featured speakers at the Business Summit next year. Can you give our listeners just a little tidbit about what you're excited to share with them?
Yeah. So one of the things that we focus on here at Max6 is how you build high-performing teams and what does that really look like? What is high-performing? How does that work? What are the qualities that you look for in a team? Because like attracts like, and if you have all the same people, you know, that's great. And you guys would probably really like each other, but that might not be the best team to get the most things done in a cohesive manner, right? So you want to be effective and productive and get all of the things you need to do while you're still conscious, while you're still building relationships, high trust, high accountability. So what a healthy team looks like. So that's what I'm going to be talking about.
Awesome. That's super exciting. Scott, is there anything in particular that or anybody you're interested in engaging with at the summit or any ideas that you're interested in exploring or having conversations about next year?
Nothing in particular. My experience when I attended last year, and look, I'm a hardcore capitalist, and what I love what you guys have done is helped elevate from the, there's a lot of people, conscious capitalism, there's kind of a touchy-feely side of it, and there's a hardcore capitalist side of it, and how we bring all that together. And I'm a learner, and I'm just looking forward to hearing the stories of there that this is hard, and how people do just good business. I mean, mm-hmm. I preach it all the time, but different people do it in different ways, and we can learn from those things. So just the overall experience is what I'm looking for.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we're really excited to have Max6 as our title sponsor for next year. So those of you listening, please come out, see Scott, see Jen, see all of the great businesses that have come out of Max6 that are going to be featured there. We're going to have a lot of great stuff. Over 500 attendees this year. We're expanding it to a two-day event, Phoenix Convention Center in downtown Phoenix, 36 breakouts, 5 keynote sessions. We're super excited. So thank you both for being here today. Can either of you let us know where we can find you and or Max6 and the conscious capitalism movement?
Max6.com is Max6, MAC6.com, and conscious capitalism, it changed. It's CCAZ.org is conscious capitalism. CC Arizona.org. Sorry about that.
There we go.
Domain just changed.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you both for being here today. We hope you listening were inspired today by these local leaders that are redefining what it means to do good business. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Conscious Capitalism of Arizona, Max6, and Phoenix Business Radio X for the show. This is Thomas Barr from Local First AZ reminding you that if we want to build a better Arizona, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.